Welcome to On the Money with your host, Steve Pomerantz. This is the show where you learn the facts about money. This is where you learn the facts that will help you to make the right decisions about your finances. Not just opinion, not interpretation, just the cold, hard facts. That's because there's no hidden agenda here. Just smart advice from the nation's leading experts, along with your host, nationally acclaimed wealth manager, Steve Pomerantz. Protect yourself. Protect your money. Now, here's Steve.
Hi, this is Steve Pomerantz. Welcome to the show. We've got a very interesting show today. One of the things we're going to discuss is a new way to settle your serious disputes online. Believe it or not, it's called Rent-A-Judge. You're going to want to hear this one. And also, if you've got troubles paying your mortgage, now is the time to learn about loan modification. And I've got an expert on the show today to tell us what to do. Also, Terry's story with a real estate roundup and so much more. But right now, I'll tell you how to prepare for the next bull market. Stay tuned. So it looks like the market's been rallying for a change, no matter what seems to happen during the day for the last hour or so. At least that's how it was last week. The market wants to come back and go to slightly new highs. So is this telling us something? Is this telling us that perhaps we are in this in the beginning of a new bull phase? Well, my feeling is that we pick up. I know some condo prices are getting awfully interesting at this point.
And there's a lot of inventory. There's more inventory. The trend is basically the same as the single-family homes, but the condo market is a little softer. One of the big concerns that we have as realtors is the inability of the lenders, or what we do need is the ability of the lenders to lift restrictions. What's happened is not only does the buyer have to qualify for loan, but now the condo association in itself needs to qualify. A lot of these associations haven't made their association dues because there's so many short sales and foreclosures. They're putting a lot of pressure on the remaining homeowners to make up those differences. And the lenders, quite honestly, are nervous to lend on these projects. Mm-hmm. So what you're seeing is it's a little bit harder in some cases to purchase a condo.
Yes. So what I'm hearing here is that interest rates are low, banks are lending again, but in so many ways there are still so many obstacles out there to actually getting a home, and let's say in this case you're talking about a condo, that you may walk into a condo situation where there's no problem, or if you're paying cash, there's no problem.
Correct.
Right? But if you're taking out a standard mortgage, and then now it's not just about you anymore, now it's about the condo association, are they keeping up with their obligations under their indenture and all that?
Correct. Yeah. And that's slowing things down.
Okay. Well, we run out of time. Terry Story is our frequent guest. That's on a weekly basis. Terry Story is a residential specialist, 19-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, and she appears every week here on The Money. I'm Steve Pomerantz. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Coming up next, ever hear of a service called Rent-A-Judge? It's a new way to put your problems of dispute resolution to a third party. Stay tuned. I'm very happy to introduce my next guest. He has a very interesting service. His name is Rafael Chodos, and he's the founder and principal of Rent-A-Judge. That's at rentajudge.com. And we're going to talk today about other ways of resolving disputes other than the costly way of going to court, things that you never knew about suing someone or getting sued in your own business. And he's an expert in that area, and Rent-A-Judge has something to do with it. Welcome to our show, Rafael.
Glad to be here, Steve.
This particular service, is this for individuals or is this primarily for businesses?
Yes and yes. All parties are welcome. Anybody who has a business dispute, a business litigation, and that can include individuals and businesses.
What mostly do you get? We talk about arbitration, we talk about mediation, we talking about divorces, or what are you seeing mostly?
Good example. Divorce is a very interesting, often painful kind of experience, but part of what goes on in a divorce case is business disputes. Who gets the house?
Right.
Who gets the money? Mm-hmm. And those disputes are pure financial stuff. The basic law in most states is 50-50, but how that gets applied can sometimes be complicated. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that kind of case is fine.
Well, it's pretty interesting because there are alternatives. I know you were telling me before the show that sometimes you'll go to a judge and he'll say, hey, wait a minute, you guys, you get out of here. You guys haven't even been through a mediation. Talk about that.
The fact is, Steve, most of the courts in the United States these days require the parties to try to settle their dispute before they go to a trial. One way or another, they require them to take a stab at it. And in California, and I believe in Florida as well, our courts have mediation panels and will send people to mediation in many cases.
What are the different types of alternative services? We mentioned a few. Are there more?
Yes, there are. There are basically three big types. Arbitration, a lot of people have heard of. I think if you look at your credit card contract or your health insurance policy, if you have an argument with your insurance company, you're going to have to arbitrate that before a panel that they've named in their policy. And arbitration means you go to some neutral party, supposedly neutral, mm-hmm. you put on your case, they give you a judgment, and you're stuck with it. That's the basic idea.
It's binding.
Most arbitrations, well, all of these can be binding or non-binding.
Okay.
In the health insurance and credit card setting, they make you agree to go through a binding arbitration when you sign up.
Mm-hmm.
Mediation is a different process. There, you get a neutral third party to listen to the litigants and try to persuade them to come to a resolution. And the joke we make about mediation is it's successful when nobody's happy with the outcome.
I see.
Because
sure.
they met in the middle.
Right, right, right.
And there's a third kind called reference proceedings, similar to rent-a-judge, where the judge will say, I've got a complicated case here. I want a retired judge or a lawyer to decide the accounting issues, or to report to me on the whether the highway was safe, or something like that. He'll identify some piece of the case and send it out for that kind of resolution. And you can have some people who agree to reference proceedings in advance in their contracts instead of arbitration. So there are three kinds: arbitration, mediation, and what we call reference proceedings.
Let's go with the reference proceedings here, because I think the arbitration and mediation, if not well known, are now better known by your description. Talk about the reference proceedings, and how does rent-a-judge come into that process?
Well, in California, Florida does not seem to me, if I'm not an expert on Florida law, but Florida, I don't think, has the same statute that we have in California. But in California, I'm sure that in Florida the judge can do this. If he wants to, he can send a piece of a case, or in California, the whole case, to be resolved by somebody outside the courtroom called a referee. And this referee will take evidence, he'll listen to the testimony, he'll read the documents, and he'll write up what he calls a report or recommendation to the judge. And the judge will say, I've received this report, I'm going to adopt it as my judgment unless somebody has a reason I shouldn't. He doesn't have to, but he can. And then the parties can argue, Your Honor, the referee got it wrong, or he didn't listen to the relevant evidence, or something like that.
Why would a judge do that?
There are many reasons that a judge might do that. They don't do it as often as perhaps they should or could. They do it when they have what they believe is a complicated, multifaceted dispute, and they want to send one part of it out for resolution before they address the whole thing.
All right, I totally understand that. But in the case of rent-a-judge, as I read it from your website, you're another step or another alternative to that? I mean, are you necessarily getting the cases that are being referred to you by sitting judges?
I'm getting them more from clients and their lawyers who want to do a process very similar to the reference proceeding.
I see.
The reference, what I offer is a format of reference proceeding that's a little bit unusual. It's fixed in length, and it's fixed in cost, and it encourages the parties to break their dispute down into modules and to try one module at a time.
Boy, that's interesting. Can you give me just a little bit of an example of that?
Well, we were talking about it before we came on the air. Let's take a divorce case. There might be business disputes. In fact, there usually are in a complicated and wealthy divorce case.
Mm-hmm.
There are many business disputes: the family business, the profession, the house, the investments, and all of those could be separated out and tried separately because everybody already knows it's 50-50. The question is, what's the 50? Did the community buy it, or was it separate property, mm-hmm. and what proportion, and so on? Those are examples of how you can break a case up into modules. Another example, I sue you for employment abuse, and you say, hey, Rayfield, you weren't my employee, you were an independent contractor. And I say, oh, no, I was an employee. And then you say, well, you were an exempt employee. I didn't owe you the minimum wage or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you could sever those issues mm-hmm. and send them to a referee or to rent a judge and get them resolved.
Now, isn't something like this more typically done person to person by a referee in a particular area? Or I know that your service is on the Internet. I'd like to kind of discuss the difference between the two.
Well, as you saw, if you look carefully at the website, if there's an in-person proceeding before us, it's more expensive than an Internet proceeding.
Sure.
The Internet proceeding is everything the same minus the in-person hearing. And, of course, we think the in-person hearing is much better mm-hmm. for a lot of reasons.
Now, do you have to go to a particular area or can you have it in your area?
You have it in your area, but that's why we're located in Southern California, and we offer to go, you know, any place within a couple of hundred miles of L.A.
Sure.
But Florida's out of the question for now. Although I must tell you, I had people in Florida and New York and New Hampshire who have offered to serve on our panel and have asked me to keep their names in our lists, which I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But we're very concerned about quality control. Not every lawyer has the instinct to be a judge.
Yeah, I want to get into that in a minute, but before I do, if you just turned on to us here, you're listening to On the Money. I'm Steve Pomerantz. My guest is Rafael Chodos. He's the founder and principal of Rent-A-Judge, as a man with 30 years of civil litigation experience. And we're trying to figure out the new ways of dispute resolution without actually having to get into court. One of the questions I read on your website was, how come if this is Rent-A-Judge, there are no actual judges, like retired judges, doing the proceeding?
Well, as I explain on the website, for now, we have a desire to, combat or eliminate all the smell of bureaucracy from what we do.
I don't understand that. Tell me why having a retired judge brings in the odor of bureaucracy.
Well, most judges, I've known a lot of judges, I've argued to a lot of judges, in order to be a judge, you have to either run for office or get appointed, which means you have to be a member of this club and that club. You're part of a hierarchy in the courthouse where you get cases assigned to you, you get rules sent to you, you get memoranda every single day telling you how you should do this and that. And I hate to say it, but you know, bureaucracy is not all bad. We've had bureaucracy in churches, in temples, in religious institutions for 10,000 years, as I'm sure you know. But I'm trying in this service to do a person-to-person thing.
You'll have to forgive me, Rafael. I still don't understand where the bureaucracy comes in, because if it's a retired judge...
In other words, he's left the bureaucracy,
bureaucracy.
He's retired?
Yeah.
It's just the part that he carries in his blood.
Okay, let's leave it at that. Okay, so let's get back to Rent-A-Judge. Tell us about the process.
Well, I want to, if I may,
remind
your listeners that the kind of trials we have in today's courthouse, of which one exemplar that your listeners may remember is the O.J. Simpson trial that went on for 9 months or 12 months, I can't even remember.
Of course.
Those are relatively recent in the history of mankind. In ancient times, a one-day trial, start at sunrise and end at sunset, was the standard in Greece and Rome. How the longer trial came about is a matter of historical study, but this process that I'm offering is a one-day trial again. And in order to participate in this process, the parties have to really think through their cases and boil them down to the essentials. And that process of thinking through is the most beneficial part of our service.
Do litigants normally hire an attorney to help them do that?
Yes, absolutely. I think it would be very hard for a litigant to do it without some skill in the law, because sorting out what's relevant and important from the rest is a matter of some knowledge and training.
In terms of cost, then, there is the cost for your attorneys.
Yes.
And then there would be the cost for the service.
Yes.
Okay.
And the attorneys, of course, if you're going to go to court, you're already paying your attorneys to do something.
Sure.
The idea that we have is, hey, why don't you pay them to get to the heart of it quickly, and maybe we can resolve it quickly, and you don't have to go through all the rest of the hoops that the courthouse involves.
How has this been accepted by attorneys in general?
I think All the attorneys that I've spoken to that know of it are excited about it and are planning to use it. You know, we just launched it within the last couple of months.
Oh, I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, it's a new service, mm-hmm. but I and my friends who are on the panel have been doing it ourselves. I've been doing it for 30 years. Whenever I have a case, I always go through this one-day trial process. I invite a group of friends to sit in a hotel room, serve them tea and crumpets, and actually present the case and have them decide it like a jury.
I see.
Most valuable kind of process you can ever imagine.
So there's a half-day and a whole-day option?
No, it's a whole-day option.
Okay.
It takes one day.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people have said to me, how can you present a complicated case in a single day?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is you got to work at it. Some of the things you have to do, for example, are you can't actually have all the witnesses come and sit in the witness chair and testify.
Right.
That takes too long. So you have to present virtual testimony or avatar witnesses. The way I do it, personally, is I actually role-play the part of my adversary lawyer and his witnesses.
With the written documentation in hand?
The written documentation in hand. That can be presented because no matter how many hundreds of documents you have, which is very rare, the important ones seldom number 100.
Yeah.
But you can always provide a short summary and say, here are 30 documents that prove X.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of having witnesses, are, in your view, in this particular mode is not absolutely necessary.
You need to remember that in business disputes, a lot of the facts are not really disputed because parties have documents up the wazoo, and there's no way to get around the fact that I paid you or I didn't pay you and we signed this contract or we didn't sign it. You know, those things are not really factual disputes. Not like a murder case where we wonder what happened in the closed room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's pretty much out in the open. It's just a question of maybe interpretation.
That's right.
Okay.
It's a matter of playing chess instead of poker.
Right. If people wanted more information, I guess they would go to rentajudge.com.
Correct.
And that's one word, and it's spelled as it sounds.
Right.
And do you have another site where people can find out more about you and articles you've written?
Yes, chodos.com, my last name.
C-H-O-D-O-S.
.com
mm-hmm.
has a list of my books and my articles and all the other activities I'm engaged in.
Very good, then. Thank you so much, Raphael. I've been speaking with Raphael Chodos, founder and principal of Rent-A-Judge. And if you want more information, just go to rentajudge.com. Thanks again, Raphael.
Nice being with you, Steve.
Sure.
So long.
Thanks for joining us tonight. Good night.
Investing and decisions concerning money and personal finance are important decisions. Listeners are advised to research and discuss financial decisions with a competent tax, legal, or financial advisor. On the Money Radio makes no claims, warranties, guarantees, or any information discussed on this program. Remember, never make an important financial decision based on what you heard on radio or television. Reproduction or rebroadcast of any information on this program is strictly prohibited. More information can be obtained online at the program's official radio website, located at www.onthemoneyradio.org, or by calling the toll-free consumer line at 1-866-MONEY-01. For Steve Pomerantz, join us again next week right here as we continue to put you on the money.